Well, Paul, you're the only one who's awake right now, so the captain takes you and he leads you down the halls. He opens the door and you find yourself in a room with a bunch of bunk beds. He says, these are the cadet barracks for the Royal Guards. There's a larger, more official room for the inducted Royal Guard, but you won't get to stay there yet. Feel free to change anywhere. There's no special space for you here.
Is there no private place at all?
The captain kind of gives you a look, and then he goes, you're a Puritan, are you? Well, Silvius is going to like you. I'll see if he's willing to mentor for you. But if you like, there is a small chapel, and they'll give you space there.
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. If you could lead me to that chapel so I know where it is.
Very well, right this way. And he escorts you down the halls again. Along the way, he says, now, I don't expect that you'll get a lot of friendship from the other cadets. Most of them had to work very hard to get here. And, to be frank, don't expect any kindness from me, either. Being hand-selected by Eloria, you understand the gravity of that, don't you?
Yes, sir. It is a tremendous honor.
Not only that. Being hand-selected by Eloria this way, that means that if you don't live up to expectations, you are personally besmirching Queen Eloria. I'll take that as treason, Paul. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, it won't legally be treated as treason, but I'll make you wish you were dead. I'll make you wish you could be executed.
Yes, sir. That sounds very reasonable.
Good, then. The captain takes you into a chapel room. It's small, but well decorated. It's full of stone carvings of centipedes, inlaid with gold. And Paul, you've got the ability to see in the dark, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not bothered by low light.
Then yeah, you can make it out pretty well. The walls have centipedes carved in them going all the way up to the ceiling. There's also a man in the room, a tall guy in guard's clothes. The captain says, oh, Silvius, good you're here. I'd like to introduce you to Paul. He's a fellow Puritan, a new cadet. The guy gets off his knees, and it looks like he was praying to a small statue of a centipede with a humanoid face. He turns to you and he says, a fellow Puritan. What denomination?
Oh, it's a bit of an independent sect, sir. My family believed that the body is a temple. The self is a temple of sorts. The soul is shrined.
The body is holy, for I reside within thee.
Yes, sir. I've probably heard that about 1,000 times.
I've always had a great deal of respect for the Enfelitans. I sometimes like to joke I've become one, not by choice. The other guards don't respect the more fringe holy days, so I often find myself sitting here alone on the Day of Spiders or on St. Pugalis's birthday. Do you celebrate the Day of Spiders? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. The captain says, this is Paul, and no one celebrates the Day of Spiders, Silvius. You know, most of the men in the barracks would consider themselves to be some form of Enfelitan. Yes, but they wouldn't consider themselves to be Puritan Enfelitans. Well, I'm not here to debate religion. I'll leave the two of you to it. Paul, is there anything that you needed from the barracks you came from?
No, sir, I'll be fine. I carry very little.
He who clenches fists shut around their property will find that their hands are not open to receive the gifts of Centipora. The captain says, very good, and he nods and he leaves. Cadet Paul, you caught me just in the middle of a prayer. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to finish, and then I'll see to your needs.
Yes, sir, of course. Is there a copy of the scripture anywhere here?
Yes, there's one behind the altar. Silvius goes back behind the altar, he pulls out a book, and then he hands it off to you reverentially.
Try to receive it as reverentially. Thank you, sir. And then go sit down and start reading this thing from front to back.
Because your life does depend on it, right? So you're going through these pages as fast as you can, and finally, Silvius finishes. He gets up and looks at what you're reading. He goes, ah, the early scripture. Any particular reason?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I go through a big life change, I like to think, you know, a new beginning deserves a fresh read of the book.
I believe Captain Millicent was correct. I will like you, Paul. Come along, where did he leave you off?
Well, he showed me the barracks, and then I asked if there was a place for, you know, reflection, and he said this was it.
Your first thought was towards the faith.
One's always should be.
Another guard walks through the door, somewhat gently. He says, pardon the intrusion, do you have a moment? Sylvia says, I believe we're finished now. Go ahead. Well, I come with bad news from the guard outpost that was holding our topside prisoners. It seems when they went to release the woman, she attacked them, likely with sorcery. We should have been more cautious. It seems unlikely she could have escaped before the gates were opened, but I just wanted to check the new person here. Paul? I'm told that you came from that guardhouse.
Yeah, that's where I was posted. Are the others okay?
No. No, in fact, the details are very graphic. We believe that... Well, both the men were found disrobed. We think that the female prisoner must have been overcome by lust and raped them to death.
What? Why do you think that?
Well, women just can't control themselves sometimes. You know how it is.
Right, but I mean, she came down with some male followers and didn't rape them to death, so...
Well, we can only assume the males that came with her knew better than to resist.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a theory.
Well, what do you suppose is more likely, Paul?
Well, I mean, it's the robes could be used to hide the identity of the escapees, so they might be on the loose in the streets.
That's a possibility. Though if that were the case, they should be easy to spot. Just look for a guard whose skin doesn't glow.
Well, yes. I mean, of course, they're not going to escape for long.
Still, though, we can't rule out the possibility that she's just acting on base instinct. Establish a curfew if one hasn't been established already. We don't want anyone to be in danger. It's already being announced, sir.
Could I talk to the guy who came in who wasn't robed? Because he could give some insight into the, uninhibited carnal desires of the woman.
He may be awake by now. Let's see if he's willing to be interrogated. Oh, sir, I don't know if you heard, but the new recruit, Paul here, when the lizard man tried to bite Aloria, Paul made it clear he was going to beat that lizard to death. Now, we'd all like to say that we'd do the same, but it does require a certain level of hot-headed nature. I mean, Paul really attacked him. Good show. I mean, we were all impressed, but just as a note...
Well, he really deserved it.
Do what you have to, but technically he is under Queen Aloria's protection for now.
Okay, I'm not going to hit a guy who was asleep through that entire assault. I mean, he's probably a victim here, right? Traveling with a crazy rape lady? The poor guy.
I believe I understand Paul's passions. There is an order to society that must be respected. Paul, I trust you. Let's go to the chambers where they're keeping the... What was his name? I'm not sure if we got one, sir.
Oh, it's Elvis. He told us while he was in the jail cell. Elvis.
He told you?
I mean, the lizard guy told us.
Oh, of course. Well, let's pay him a visit, shall we? And Silvius goes with you to where they're keeping Elvis. There's a single guard stationed outside, and Silvius says, "You may go, brother. I'll relieve you. Paul, I'll trust you to interrogate the prisoner however you see fit. As a cadet, consider this one of your first tests. I'd like to see how you perform."
"Thank you, sir. You'll find me persistent."
"Very good." He opens the door. Elvis, you've actually been awake for a little bit now, but it's a dark room and you don't really know where you are. You don't really have much recollection of anything that's happened recently. You've got a headache from the poison, but aside from that, it's also a comfortable room. You've got a great big bed with very soft pillows. There's like a mirror over there on the wall. There is a small window so you can look out in the city and see all the phosphorescent stuff, but it's way too high and there's no way you're going to get down. Then the door opens and a robe man enters the room.
"Oh, hello. Maybe you can help me. Am I dead and in heaven and you guys forgot to pay the bills and so the lights got turned off?"
"Elvis, no, it's Paul." I lift up my hood and then put it back down.
"Oh, Paul! Did you know you have crushed bug guts on your face?"
"Yes, I'm disguised as a guard, so act like it, okay?"
"Okay."
"All right, and you've got a cover story, too."
"Oh, cool. What's my role?"
"You, and bear with me on this, have been raped repeatedly by Cherry."
"Oh, I don't think I like this role."
It's not about like. This is about life or death."
"But why, though?"
"Okay, so they think that Cherry is some kind of, like, atavistic sex maniac and that she killed her way out of the prison for lust reasons?"
"Why?"
"I don't know, but it's a preconception they have. I advise just go with it."
"What if instead I calmly explain to them that that doesn't happen?"
"Well, okay, so the thing is that we have broken out of jail. I mean, you can see me here. I'm not imprisoned, right?"
"Well, you're imprisoned in a role."
"But I'm not, like, physically behind bars or anything. They're totally off track as to how and why we escaped, and that's good."
"Oh, it's like a motive thing. You don't want them to know the real murderer."
"Yeah, basically."
"Okay, I got it then. Cherry was a horrible sexual predator and she touched me inappropriately."
"Right, and you had to cooperate with her and otherwise you know nothing."
"Okay, I can fake that."
"Yeah, I bet you can."
"Okay, cool. When do we escape?"
"All right, here's the other thing. I want to stay in disguise for a while. The Queen talked about having captive cat people. And I don't know who they are."
"Oh, it could be your parents."
"I mean, it is unlikely that they're my parents, okay? But they're innocent and...
"And they could be your parents."
"I don't think they are, but I want to meet them. I want to find out why they're here. How long have they been here? You know, lots of important mysteries about the surface.
They probably have been here since your parents vanished, because they are your parents.
You hear something slam against the door.
No, heck, what was that?
I don't know. There should be a guard out there. Okay, act cool. I go and I hide under the bed.
Paul, what are you doing?
I'm hiding. Just act cool, okay? Act like everything's fine.
Okay, all right. I strike a casual pose.
All right, so there you are, standing there, looking cool, looking normal. And then, poof! There's a puff of smoke, and then it's hard to make him out in the gloom, but standing there is Torvald. He's got his scimitar out, and there's blood dripping off the end of it. All right, we're not gonna mess around, he says. You're gonna tell me who sent you, how you got down there, and how many teams are involved.
Cherry sent me, and she has been violently raping me for the past 3 months.
What?
Roll out from under the bed and kick Torvald in the shin!
It's dark and Torvald is not expecting you. You kick him in the shin. Ah! He jumps up and he grabs his leg. And all right, we're at the top of 12. Paul, you're up again.
All right, I grab him by the ankles and then just kind of ram my shoulders into his shins.
All right, Torvald is grabbed and falls to the ground with you holding him. Elvis!
I just run over and I punch him.
All right, you run over and just pop, give him a shiner right below the eye. Torvald tries to kick you off him, Paul. Where'd you come from? Kick, kick, kick. I can't get free. So, Paul, back to you.
All right, climb up and sit on him and then start slamming his head on the floor. Who hired you? Where did you come from? How did you get down here?
The Queen of the Dungeon City sent me. Elvis, over to you.
Liar! I work for the Queen of the Dungeon City and she doesn't exist!
I punch him again.
Okay. I work with someone in a group called the Curator's Order.
Who? I grab his sword arm in a joint lock.
They call him Fat Boy Slim and he's...
I twist.
You hear a pop as you likely pull something out of the joint. Ah, okay. I work for a guy named Namir.
Oh, I know who that
what
is.
What is Namir? What is... Why?
Because the people down here have built a city around the bottommost part of the dungeon.
So? What does that have to do with Namir?
Because he's a curator. I don't know exactly. They get promoted based on knowing things. Okay?
Hey, you can teleport. How come you haven't teleported away yet?
I can't take anybody with me, and you guys are sitting on me.
Yeah, well, go for his ankle and then twist.
Come on! I'm cooperating!
Yeah, we'll call it insurance. Now you can't run off. Elvis, get the door.
You go to open the door, and it's still locked from the inside.
All right, I'm gonna pick up Torvald's scimitar, since he's not using it anymore, and I'm gonna kick the door down.
All right, you give it one swift, hard kick until you realize this is a heavy door, intended to keep someone locked in. But then you hear the lock switch from the outside. The door now opens easily, but you find Sylvius lying on the ground, bleeding from the stomach. Seems he made considerable effort to get the keys to the door, and now he is slumped back over against the wall.
Brother, are you okay?
Oh my god, is Torvald your brother?
No, he means me, you idiot. Look out.
All right, the damage looks pretty bad. Sylvia says, I need a healer.
Okay, Elvis, cut some strips off of Torvald's robe, and then go get help.
Okay, I cut some strips off Torvald's robe, and then I hand them to Paul. Where do I go?
Find any of the women. In guards' outfits. They should have basic paramedics magic to stop the bleeding.
You got it, and I run off.
All right, I'm going to try to use these strips of cloth to help stop the bleeding as well as possible.
Okay, while you're doing that, Torvald goes poof, and then poof, and he appears in the hall. And then poof, and then poof. And this continues until he's out of sight. Paul, Sylvius grips your hand. He says, I feel sick.
Yeah, that's the blood loss talking. You'll be all right. Just hang in there.
All right, Elvis, as you're running down the halls, you come across a pair of women. They're wearing armor. It's like leather corsets with shoulder pads and stuff, but also like parachute pants with lots of zippers. It's a style thing. One says, Hey, stop! Why are you naked?
The guard outside my bedroom got stabbed.
You're Aloria's prisoner from the surface.
Yeah, there was that, and I was sexually assaulted by Cherry, and then there was a prison shanking, but I didn't get shanked. The guard got shanked.
Where? And then they follow you back to Sylvius. They say, stand back, stand back. Zagwa sanfa, zagwa sanfa, zagwa sanfa, and they begin to, like, stabilize his wounds. The whole rest is kind of a blur. By the time they've stabilized everything, they've got two guards outside of Elvis's room. They've interrogated you guys about what happened. I assume you tell them that Torvald attacked.
Yep, he's no friend of ours.
Captain Millicent says, I knew we shouldn't have let him walk around without escort. It'd be his death sentence if he tried anything, we thought. This is all getting out of hand. We've lost the Catman and the woman. Now Torvald is on the loose. At least the Lizard Man is in chains.
I tried to break his ankle, sir. I thought it might slow him down, but I guess not.
You did enough. He's disarmed now, he's injured and on the run, and Centipora willing. Silvius is going to live thanks to you. Now, I know I say you weren't liable to make a lot of friends, having been elevated so fast, but now I see I was wrong to judge you. I should have seen Aloria's wisdom.
Thank you, sir. But speaking of that, when I had Torvald at my mercy, he said that someone named Namir had sent him.
Yes, that's been an established fact for some time. He comes down here on behalf of someone named Namir. And Namir, as I understand, works underneath the Queen of Dungeon City.
Well, he confessed there is no Queen of Dungeon City, sir. And the prisoner Elvis can confirm that.
That's right. There's no queen, and also I was sexually assaulted.
Yeah, he's been traumatized by that. He just keeps repeating it.
We've suspected as much for a while. All the envoys that we've seen from Namir have been nothing more than mercenaries. One gets wise over time. Though apparently not wise enough, we're going to have a lot of follow-up questions for this Elvis person. However, I suppose we can grant you a certain amount of leniency, given that you helped save Silvius's life.
How about I always have to have a guard with me, but can it be this Paul guy? Because he's a really good fighter.
Given the qualities that Paul has shown here today, it might be beneath him. This soldier is going places. I don't want him stuck babysitting.
Well, it's not beneath me, sir. I mean, this seems important right now, and besides, the prisoner won't be here indefinitely.
I suppose that's true. All right, Paul, you're hereby assigned to Elvis. Stay with him at all times, make sure he stays out of trouble, keep him in line with the rules.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, the rest of you fan out, see if you can find Torvald. Let's hope he hasn't gone far.